Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. Today we come to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. This is our second study in the Gospel of Luke. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. Caesar Augustus was a big shot ruler with an evil soul. And it says in verse 2 that this was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. Rome had two reasons for taking a census. Number one, to know how many young men could be drafted into the army. And number two, to know how much money the empire would take in from a poll tax. Verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Everyone had to return to their family's original hometown to register for the census, and that's why Joseph had to go down to Bethlehem. In verse 5, it says, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Now, Mary and Joseph both knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament predicted that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. So even though this was a hard trip, it must have been an exciting trip, knowing that they were right in the middle of scripture prophecy here. Verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. I do not think it would be strange if Joseph thought there would be a decent room available for Mary when they reached Bethlehem, but there wasn't a decent room to be rented anywhere. Personal comfort is not always included in God's will. And Joseph found that out right here in verse 8. It says, and in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. As a rule, people did not like shepherds back then, and that is because many of them were liars and thieves. And so, people stereotyped them as being bad. Verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. God could have sent this angel to any class of people, but he sent the angel to a group of shepherds. Now, God has nothing against the social elite. He just wants everyone to know that he's not impressed by them either. And by appearing to these lowly shepherds, God is saying, all people, no matter how they look or how poor they may be, are welcome in God's kingdom if they will only repent. 10. And the angel said to them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. These shepherds did not need a theological explanation on the depravity of man. Man, they knew they were rotten. And if they ever forgot, they'd have plenty of people who would remind them. That's why they were afraid. However, the angel was not there to judge or condemn or punish. He was sent to tell them that the Savior was born. Verse 11. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And if the Savior was born for the shepherds, then believe me, he was born for everyone. That means no one should feel like they are too rotten to be saved from hell. too rotten to turn to Christ for forgiveness. No. Verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. If the Son of God would have been born in a palace or in an inn, the shepherds would not have been allowed in to see him. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When people do not get along with each other, it is because at least one of them is not right with God. But when people get on right terms with God by receiving Christ, they also start getting along with each other. So, because the Savior was born, people can have peace with God and peace in their consciences and peace with each other as a result. Verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Angels are never seen hanging around after they do their business. So the angels, they deliver their message, they head back to heaven. And verse 16 it says, And they went with haste, the shepherds did, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And no doubt the shepherds told Joseph and Mary about the angels as well. Verse 17, And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. Sometimes people make witnessing for Christ much more complicated than what it really has to be. It does not have to be anything different than what the shepherds did. Just go out and tell people about Jesus Christ and what he means to you and what he has done for you. 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Notice, the people were expecting a Savior, and they were expecting him to be born in Bethlehem. However, they never expected him to be born in a barn to humble parents. They never expected his birth to be announced to low-life shepherds. And so, no wonder the people wondered at the shepherd's story. Verse 19, But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mothers usually do not forget the things that have happened, things surrounding their children, and Mary certainly had a lot of things to remember, more than most mothers. Verse 20, And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The people the shepherds told their story to did not get excited and praise God for his son, but the shepherds themselves sure did. The down and out and despised are often more ready to receive the things of God than those who are well off. Verse 21, And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so, like every other Jewish baby boy, Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day. And of course, that's a sign of the covenant between the Israelites and God, their special relationship. Verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. 33 days after the circumcision of the baby boy, the parents were to take him to the temple and present him to the Lord God. Verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, meaning every firstborn son in Israel was to be devoted to God. 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. As a way of dedicating the firstborn son to God, the parents were to offer a lamb to God as a sacrifice. In the case of poor parents, God said they could bring a pair of birds. Notice, that's what Mary and Joseph bought. So they were poor. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You study the Word of God from start to finish, and you will notice that it is the righteous and the devout who hear God's voice and often see God do miracles and experience answers to prayer and get used by God and have real joy. And that is the case with Simeon. Verse 27. And inspired by the Spirit, he came to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. His eyes have seen God's salvation. And his eyes were focused on one person, and that is Jesus Christ. To those who think that there are many roads to heaven, not just Christ, I would say, Simon did not say, my eyes have seen one of God's salvation. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Look at verse 30 again. Simeon says, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is to be spoken against. Most people rest their legs on a hassock. You remember the old Dick Van Dyke show? He used to come into his house and trip and fall over his hassock. Well, Jesus is sort of like a hassock. He is the only way to heaven. Some people find refuge in that by receiving him and living for him. Others trip over those words to their eternal ruin. Verse 34, it says, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. God knows our hearts. But what we do with Christ reveals the secrets of our heart. See, obedience to Christ reveals a humble heart, a heart for God. Rejecting Christ reveals a hostile attitude toward God. And then the last part of verse 35, it says, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, talking about Mary, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Poor Mary. I believe she watched her son from little, and it was hard. I'll bet you Jesus was abused and used, and of course he would never strike back. You know, then, worst of all, she saw as he was mocked and beaten and nailed to the cross. It must have just about killed her. And so a sword did pierce her soul. And you know, we're all supposed to share in the sufferings of Christ, but Mary shared in a way that we cannot possibly understand. Verse 36, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84. Anna was married 7 years, and then her husband died. She is now 84 and about to meet Christ. You know what? The greatest thing to ever happen to this lady has been reserved for her later years. And in verse 38, the last part of verse 37, it says, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna probably did not have much spring in her step at her age, but she was a storehouse full of God's word and wisdom, a love for God, and the experience of age is a dynamite spiritual combination. Verse 39. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. As God, Jesus knew everything. As man, he grew in knowledge and wisdom. Jesus, the Bible says, set aside his rights as God. You know, his first words as a little guy were not, "Mother, Father, did you know that light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second?" He, in his humanity, Jesus grew and developed in every way, just like the rest of us. The big difference? Jesus never sinned. 41. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Every year they went to the Passover. Jesus grew up in that kind of a family. His parents respected God, and they did things God's way. Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. And so, Jesus, 12 years old, he's soaking in the word like a sponge. And it seems as if maybe he didn't even notice that the caravan he came with was gone. And so were his parents. We don't know the exact circumstances, but they left without him. We do know that. 44. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. The women and children would normally travel in front of caravans back in those days. The men would travel in the back. Now, a 12-year-old like Jesus was on the border of being a man and a child. His mom probably thought, well, he's in the back with the other men. Joseph was probably thinking, well, he's in the front with the other children. Well, after about a day, they realized that they were both wrong, and it was panic time. Verse 45. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Well, now, if you are in Jerusalem and you want to talk about God, then the place to be is the temple courts back in those days. The greatest teachers in Israel would be there talking about God and discussing the scriptures. And of course, 12-year-old Jesus was right in the middle of it all. He was saying things that even had the scholars amazed. 48. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." Mary is talking as if Jesus did something wrong. She no doubt is just, you know, a concerned mother. She was afraid. And what parent would not be? Sometimes people say things they would not usually say because they are worried or afraid. And that is the reason, one of the reasons the Bible says, be slow to speak. Verse 49. And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" You know, when you have a father and son like Jesus and God the Father who get along so well, it is no surprise that they like to be together. Seems to be why it was strange to Christ that his earthly parents did not know where he would be. Of course, he's with his Father. Verse 50, and they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. And it is too bad that the words of Christ did not quite make sense to Mary and Joseph at this time. However, he still said what he said. See, he still said the correct thing. Our job is to put God first, whether others really understand it or not. Verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus knew that his real father was God the Father. Jesus knew that he was God. Jesus knew more than his parents actually knew. However, as a boy living at home, he still honored and obeyed his parents. That tells you how important that commandment is to God. Honor thy father and mother. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So like other boys, Jesus learned his father's trade and worked as a carpenter. And somewhere between the age of 12 and 30, Joseph died and Jesus became the main provider in the home. Jesus lived with slivers, calluses, sore muscles. He can relate to the working man, just as his earthly father Joseph could, because he was one. And he can relate to those with family responsibilities because he had them. And that in part is why the scripture says he is a very sympathetic Savior. Next time, chapter 3. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.